Today's daf is Krisos Daf Hey, and we will begin four lines from the top of Daf Hey Amud Aleph. Today's daf is being learned as a Zchus Refuah Shleima for Shlomo Ben Sarah Aliza. Zok the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak said, Ha'oichel Lechem Koli V'Karmel Loika. If somebody eats from the Tfuah HaChadasha, also known as Chadash, he eats lechem, bread from the Tfuah HaChadasha, Koli, he eats grains that haven't been processed into breads yet, but they were toasted. Koli is toasted grains. The caramel, or he eats the grain in its natural state. Loika, he's going to get malchus, but gimel. Three times. The makar to this halacha is a pasuk in Parshas Emor. The pasuk says, V'lechem v'koli v'charmel lo yisoichlu, ad etzem ayoyim azeh, ad aviyachem es korban eloikeichem, chuka asoilom l'doyroiseichem, b'chol moish v'yiseichem. One of the korbanos that were brought every year in the Beis HaMikdash was the korban oimer. The korban oimer was brought on Tez Zayin Nisan, and it was very significant. It was significant in the sense that the Yidden were not allowed to eat from the Tfuah HaChadasha, from the new crop, until they brought the Karben Omer. The Karben Omer, in addition to being a Karben, was also a Matar. It was Matar, the Tfuah HaChadasha. After the Yidden brought the Karben Omer, they would count how many days, 49 days, until Shavuos, and on Shavuos they would bring another Karben, also a Karben Mincha. This Karben was the Karben of the Shtei Alechem. Regardless, the Torah, when it says that it's usher to eat from the Tfuah HaChadasha until the Karben is brought, it says, V'lechem v'koli v'charmel lo yisoichel. And Yitzchak said a chiddush. He said that being that the Torah singled out lechem and koli and karmel, it's coming to teach me that if somebody eats lechem, he gets malchus, koli gets malchus, karmel gets malchus. But even more than that, if you would eat lechem, koli, and karmel with one hasra, the halach is you get malchus. And just to understand the chiddush a little bit better, usually if somebody's over the same lav three times and there was only one hasra, you'd get one malchus. Just like we're discussing that as it relates to the karban chatos, the halomos are mechalik between chatois, as it relates to malchus, the hasrois are mechalik. So if you're getting three malchus for lechem, koli, and karmel, what it seems to be suggesting is that there's three lavin. Because if it's one lav, and you were over it three times with one hasra, then you shouldn't get three malchus, you should only get one malchus. So in the world of lamdis, Rabbi Yitzchak's actually saying a tremendous chiddush. He's saying that lechem, koli, and karmel are not one lav, but rather they're three lavin. The Torah singles them out, and it's for that reason. Lechem, koli, v'karmel, how could you get malchus three times? It's true the Torah singled out lechem, koli, and karmel, but at the same time, the lav is when it says lo yisoichlu, and it's one general statement of lo Soichlu, that's referring back to lechem, koli, and karmel. Shouldn't the one general statement of lo yisoichlu mean that it's really one lav, or at the very least, it's a lav shebechlolos, and therefore you should only get one malchus? And this is something we've spoken about in the past, that there's two types of lav shebechlolos. There's a lav shebechlolos where you learn many lavin from one pasuk. The lavin are potentially unrelated to each other. Over there, the rule is you don't get malchus at all. And then there's a lav shebechlolos where the Torah uses one lashon loisase, and in the pasuk itself, it mentions different applications of the loisase, where lav shebechlolos doesn't teach me that you don't get malchus, but rather lav shebechlolos teaches me that even though there are many applications to it, it's going to be one malchus for the group. The Gemara's question is that being that it says lo yisoichlu, it should be treated as a lav shebechlolos where you get malchus, but you only get one malchus. Either way, the Gemara says, Shani hachadami atrikroi. It's true, it's a lav shebechlolos, and based on that, really, you should only get one malchus, but being that there's some extra verbiage in this pasuk, so it's for that reason, Rabbi Yitzchak understood that the Torah wrote these extra words to teach me that you're going to get malchus three times, even if there was only one hasra. What's extra, says the Gemara, because le makro lechem v'nelev koli v'karmel minei. Says the Gemara, maybe what's extra is the words Koli and Karmel, meaning the Torah could have said that you're not allowed to eat Lechem of Chadash, and if you know that, you know you're not allowed to eat Koli and Karmel either, but the Gemara says that's not true. There's nothing extra there, because Iklam Ifrach, Malu Lechem Shekenis Rabbe, it's a Chal. Again, it's very important to know this for this Gemara. Lechem is bread, we know that. Koli are toasted grains. Karmel are grains in its natural sense. Says the Gemara, had it only said that there's an Issa Chadash when it comes to Lechem, so you would have thought that maybe Lechem is more Chomer. There, there's an Issa Chadash. Why? Because there's a Chiyuv to be Mafresh Chala when you have dough, when you're baking bread. So Lechem, which is related to the Mitzvah Chala, maybe there's an Issa Chadash. Koli and Karmel, there's no Hafroshas Chala on grains, so as a result, maybe there's no Issa Chadash either. Says the Gemara, Nichtav Koli, Nichtav Lechem and Karmel. Maybe what's extra is Lechem and Karmel. Meaning, it's true, the Torah need it to say kali, but maybe it should have just said kali, and I would know lechem akamet. The Gemara says, no. Why? Because lechem kali layasi. You can't learn lechem from kali. Rishon the kali isi be'ini. Because you could say maybe faker. Maybe there's an issa chadash by kali because kali is still in its natural sense. It was toasted, but it wasn't processed yet. It wasn't ground yet. It's not bread yet. So maybe only over there there's tvoa chadasha. But lechem li isi be'ini, but lechem which is not be'ini anymore, maybe they're not. And karmel mi kali layasi. What about karmel? Why can't you learn karmel from kali? What are you going to tell me? Kali is natural? Caramel's even more in its natural state. It wasn't even toasted yet. The Gemara says, "Bishum the kali in this rabbi eitzel anachas," because you find that kali has a special place in halacha regarding the menachas, which minchasaymer. The Torah says that minchasaymer had to come from toasted grains, whereas caramel in this rabbi eitzel anachas, you never find that caramel is a criteria, it's a prerequisite of any mincha. Therefore, there would have been a havamina that kali, which is featured prominently with regards to a mincha, specifically the Omer, which is the context that we're discussing. Maybe over there there's an Issa Chadash, but maybe as it relates to Karmel, not. Says more Nichtav Karmel. Maybe you could have said Karmel, Nei Lechem Lekoli, Nei Learn Lechem Lekoli. Or it says that's also not, because Ikilam Ifrach, Mala Karmel, Shekain Lishnani, Mibri Yasai. Karmel is the most natural, and as a result, maybe only over there there's an Issa Chadash. So the Gemara says, you can't tell me that either Lechem or Koli or Karmel is extra, and that's how you know Reb Yitzchak Salacha, the Ichel Lechem, Koli, Karmel, Lech Gesholish, there's nothing extra. The Torah had to tell me there's an Issa Chadash by Lechem. The Torah had to tell it to me by Kali, Torah had to tell it to me by caramel. Because each one is unique, and as a result, you'd never be able to learn one from the other. Lechem is unique. What's the chumra, so to speak, of lechem? It has challah. Kali is unique, that you find that the carbon minchas ha'omer had to be brought from kali. And caramel is unique in that it's still in its very natural state. Says the Gemara, min chal yavni, it's true. You can't learn one from the other. But ne'elav chadim intrein l'chayra, once you have two, shouldn't you be able to learn at the third one? So maybe that's what's actually says the Gemara, which one? Le'elav chadim intrein, should it not say lechem ne'elav kali and caramel? Can't tell me, don't say lechem, learn it for kali and caramel, because ikalim ifrach, malik kali, v'kamel, isna me'enoi. Those are the two that are still in their natural state, as opposed to lechem, which was processed already. Nechtev kra caramel, v'ne'elav lechem kali, maybe the Torah should have not said caramel and learned it from lechem akoli, ikula mifrach mal lechem akoli shekin nisrab eitzamanachas. Just like you find that koli was nisrab eitzamanachas, the minchas ha'omer, lechem was also nisrab eitzamanachas. Which one? The shtei alechem. So you can learn caramel from lechem and koli. I'm like Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak says, I'm going to explain it to you after this whole shakla v'tariya, loy lichtev kra koli v'nelech melechem akam. You wonder how I know this halacha? Because the Torah didn't have to say the word koli. It could have said lechem and caramel, and I could have learned kali from it. Why? Because my parkas, e parkas, my lechem shkein nisra beitzel chalo. If you're going to tell me, how could you learn kali from lechem? Lechem is nisra beitzel chalo. Caramel yechiach. There's no chalo by caramel. The e mishum de caramel in ishtan and biyasa. And if you're going to tell me what you mean, how could I learn kali from caramel? Caramel is in its very natural state. Kali, even though it wasn't processed yet, but it was toasted. So isn't that not as natural as caramel? Lechem yechiach. Either way, clearly the Torah did not have to say the word kali, hilkach leiken. Therefore, the reason the Torah did tell it to me is to tell me there's a special malchus of someone's over the Issa Chadash for kali and the Issa Chadash for lechem and karmel. The halacha is you're going to get malchus for each individual one. Says the Gemara, ve'ema kali demiyata mechayev chada, akula mechayev chada. How do you know that you get a special malchus for all three? At the end of the day, only one was extra. Which one was extra? Kali. So maybe there should be one malchus for lechem and karmel, and one malchus for kali. So if someone's oichel all shloisha, you should be like a beis, not like a gimel. Reb Yitzchak said that you get three malchus. The Gemara says, because then came nichtev kro, lechem karmel v'kali. Inami nichtev kali v'lechem v'karmel. The karmel and the lechem should have been together. Why is kali in between? Amai kosav l'kali b'emtza. Now, why would you think that those two should be together? Because if you're going to tell me that they're the same in the sense that for the two of them you only get one malchus, so they're more similar. So if you're telling me that lechem and caramel is only one malchus, the Torah should have put lechem and caramel together for the fact that it put kali in between. Must be to teach me hachi kamar lechem ke kali mechayev, the caramel mechayev ke kali. To teach me that you're going to get a special malchus for lechem, a special malchus for kali, and a special malchus for karmel. We'll get back to this, but first one more gemara. Amar Rabbi Yane, l'ilmati gzeir shava kala b'necha. A person should never make light of gzeir shava. Gzeir shava is one of the yud gimel midos sha'atayr nedreshes behem. When something's learned out from gzeir shava, it's kemefurish b'tayr adami. Stating that, Rabbi Yane still felt that it was important to say that al tehi gzeir shava kala b'necha, that you would have thought, maybe, v'hoitzi miliban shal tzedaykim, that what's a gzeira shava? Because the Torah said the word here and the word there, it says law here, chamisha asar, chamisha asar. You're going to start learning greisa halachas from gzeira shava, said Rabbi Yana, yeah. And alti gzeira shava kalabi nachashari, pigul, lachan begufi Torah, because pigul is one of the important halachas in the Torah. V'loidim de'akasav elim gzeira shava, and I only know pigul from gzeira shava. Now the truth is, I don't know pigul from gzeira shava. I know pigul because it says the pigul in the Torah, not just once, it says twice. But there's a detail in the laws of Pigel that I only know from Gzeira Shavat. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Tani Zavdabar Levi, Nemela Halon. It says, Veer, regarding Noisar, Va'ichla, Va'avoyno Yisa. Venema Kana says, regarding Pigel, Va'nefesh Alichelis, Mimenu, Avoyno Tisa. Ma'ala Halon, just like by Noisar, it says, Mefurish in the Torah, that if somebody eats Noisar, what does Avoyno Yisa mean? What's the Oynish for this terrible Avoyn? Kores, Avkan Kores, so to hear Kores. In other words, the Halacha, that if somebody eats Pigel, he's Chayiv Kores, right? Pigel was mentioned in the Mishnah as one of the Lam Midvav Krisus. How do I know that? I know that from Gzeira Shava. So you see that Gzeira Shava can even give a person Karis. Is La'olam Altihi Gzeira Shava Kalabi Nachan. Just to be clear, when we say this Karis for Pigel, what does it mean? It doesn't mean that a Koyein or even a Zar that doesn't avoid what a Machsheves Pigel is going to be Chayiv Karis. It means that if you have a carbon that's possible, the reason it's possible is because there was a Machsheves Pigel done during one of the critical avoiders. If someone now eats from the busser of that carbon, that's when he's going to be chayiv karas. So there's two dinim in pigel. There's the machsheves pigel that creates the pigel. Now that you have a carbon that has pigel, if someone eats from it, he's going to be chayiv karas. Regardless, the chayiv karas of pigel is something that's only learned from gzeira shava. So if you see gzeira shava, can teach me karas, that means it's very, very intense. Is la'olam al tehi gzeira shava kalabeinach. Amar Rab Simoi. La'olam al tehi gzeira shava kalabeinach. Rab Simoi said the same thing Rabbi Yana said. And he learned it from somewhere else. Shari noisar echa begufei toiro. V'olim de'akosav elam gzeira shava. Noisar itself is echa begufei toiro. And the fact that this karas by noisar, I only know from gzeira shava. Mayhi. Yalav kodesh kodesh. Ksif achet says, v'oichlov avoy no yiso. Ki es kodesh hashem. And from there I know that there's a chi of course. Amr Abai said the same thing. Bitoy is one of the arayas. Stating that, when the Torah talks about bitoy, it's referring to a daughter that somebody had through a wife. What happens if someone was ma'anas anisha and this woman gave birth to a daughter? So believe it or not, that's not mefurish in the Torah, that daughter would be considered the father's child. And it's only migzeira shava that I know that bitay me'anu sasoy is treated as a nerva. Regardless, Abaye said that being that I know bitay me'anu sasoy from migzeira shava, what's the migzeira shava? No, my rav, amali rav yitzchok bar avdimi asya heina heina lisura. I know the isra of bitay me'anu sasoy from migzeira shava heina heina. Asya zima zima lestreifa. And I know the chi of misa of bitay me'anu sasoy if someone's with that daughter from migzeira shava zima zima. But regardless, the iser and the chorus of bitame anusasa is something that I only know from gzeira shava. So Abaye said again, loyim alti gzeira shava kalabinecha. Amar Rav Ashi said the same thing. Gedoyli amayram alti gzeira shava kalabinecha. Shari neskolin heinen gufei toira. The neskolin are gufei toira, right? There are many people that are chayiv skila for averus that they do. V'leilim da'akasav elam gzeira shava. And many of the people that are chayiv skila are not mentioned before in the Torah that are chayiv skila. I only know migzeira shava. The Tanya Nemar Kana says over here the meyam ba. We're over here. So Rashi says that roiv chayiv skila kigoyin haba lo ein valakalo leksiva skila elad meyam ba. So Nemar Kana is really roiv chayiv skila. Rashi says the Nemar ba oivi yedoyni. It says regarding oivi yedoyni two forms of kishuf the meyam ba malahalon beskila. Just like over there, what it means is skila afkan beskila. So to over here, what it means is skila exhales. Before we go weiter and we start a completely different sugya, two ha'aras. So we just discussed two things. The first thing we discussed was the Issa Chadosh. It says in the Torah, V'lechem v'koli v'charma v'yseichlu ad etzem ayyom haseh. And we mentioned with Yitzchak's Chiddush that if someone eats Chadosh, he eats lechem, he eats koli, he eats caramel, behasra achas, even though ordinarily if somebody does the same Aveira three times with one Asra, he's going to get Malkus only once. Over here, Lechem is Luchud, Koli is Luchud, Karmel is Luchud, and if there was one Hasra for all three, the Halach is he's going to get Malkus times three, seemingly because we look at each three as being independent Lavin. The Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvahs, when he brings the Issa Chadash, brings Lechem, Kali, and Carmel as three separate mitzvahs. In Mitzvahs Loisase, Mitzvah Kuf Peites, He Shehziranu Milechoil, HaLechem Ha'asim Mitzvah Kadasha, Koidem Sheyeshalim Yoim Shisha Asim Minisam, V'Omer Yisala, V'Lechem, V'Kali, V'Karmel Loisaychu, U'Misha Achal Mimenu Kezai Yisloike. So Mitzvah 189 in the Loisa says the Rambam, is that you're not allowed to eat Lechem from the Tvua Chadasha. Mitzvah Kuf Tzadik, 190. Hishe Hiziranu Me'achol Koli Mitzvah L'Chadasha. Mitzvah 191, Kuf Tzadik Aleph. Hishe Hiziranu Me'achol Karmel Menachadash. So the Rambam, who sometimes was very medactic and stingy, so to speak, when it came to listing mitzvahs and the Tayag mitzvahs, a lot of things that you would think are mitzvahs deraisis that didn't make the Rambam's cup. The Rambam wrote Shroshim in the beginning of the Sefer HaMitzvahs to determine what type of mitzvah is mentioned, what's not. And here the Rambam, when it comes to the Halach of Chadash, the Rambam has 189, 190, and 191. The mitzvahs loisaseh is it's all the same thing. It's v'lechem v'koli v'karma. What's the makar? The makar is Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak said in our Gemara Krisus Daf Hey that oichel lechem koli v'karma is like a shloisha. So what do you see from the fact that you like a shloisha? You get three lap. And the Rambam held that if you get three malchus, it means even leminyan hamitzvahs we're going to list it as three. The Ramban in his Asagas to the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvahs argues with the Rambam. He says it's true. It's Rabbi Yitzchak's halacha. Can't argue with that. You're going to get three times malchus, but at the end of the day, it says loy soichlu one time. Loy soichlu means that leminyan taryag, it's not going to be considered three, it's going to be considered one. Either way, the Rambam Shita is that it's treated as three separate mitzvahs. The Gemara in Mesechtes Kedushin, Daf Lamed Ches, and it's also a Gemara in Perek Paras Chatos, in the end of Mesechtes Vachim, discusses that when the Yidden entered Eretz Yisrael for the first time with Yeshua Benon, so they entered right before Pesach, how were they able to eat matzah? Bilel Tesvav, Luchura, they weren't allowed to eat from the Tvua HaChadasha because in order to eat from the Tvua HaChadasha, you have to bring a Karban Omer. And the Karban Omer was brought B'yom Tezayin Nisan. They had a little bit of an issue. Usually it's not a problem. Usually Tesvav Nisan is before the Karban Omer is brought. So you're eating matzah from the Tvua HaYashana. But this was year one. The year they're not entering Eretz Yisrael right now. So they're going to go and they have to quickly make matzahs. How are they going to make matzahs? L'chaira, how they're going to make matzahs, they're going to have an issue with eating chavash. And the Gemara discusses what exactly, the Gemara over there discusses what exactly took place. A famous Tosfos who brings the Yerushalmi's kasha, the Yerushalmi says, what's the problem? Why couldn't the assay of matzah be loicha, the lois assay of chadash? Right, matzah is an assay. Chadash is a lois assay. So why don't you say assay is like a lois assay? And the Yerushalmi says, because matzah is an assay, the koidem adibor, it's mentioned in Parashas Boy, whereas chadash is a lois assay, the la'achar adibor, it's in Parashas Emor, the ein assay, the koidem adibor, doicha, lois assay, the la'achar adibor. Inami, the Yerushalmi says, gzeira ksayis, rishoyna atu gzayis shniyah. It's true, really, there is a mitzvah, but the mitzvah is only to eat a kezayis and matzah. Be'er of toichel matzahs is to eat one kezayis. Chodosh, every kezayis is going to be over. So for the first kezayis, it's not going to be a problem. But what about the second kezayis? Similar to what the Gemara says, that you don't do yibum on a chai ve'lavin, even though the assay of yibum could be doichel alois, I say gzera bi'er rishayna, ato bi'er shayna. So pasha, you would learn, bi'er is different. Bi'er, there's a gzera bi'er rishayna, ato bi'er shniya. But by kezayis, taivas achila is never treated the same as taivas or arayas. Either way, it's a shagazayas kasha. But regardless, as oish state in toisvis and mesechtes kedushin, daflam et ches amar ala. But it's yudua that the shagazayas in turiyev and mesechtes rosh hashanah, daf yud gimel, es the bomba kasha. The pasuk says in parshas va'aschanan, that when the Yidden entered Eretz Yisrael, v'hoyikiv yachashem alikecha la'aretz asher nishba la'aviseichel Avram liYitzchak uliYakiv losus loch orim gedoylois v'toyves asher loy b'nisa. So the Yidden are getting excited. They're going to go into Eretz Yisrael, and Hashem tells them, you're going to enter the land, and you're going to see there orim gedoylois v'toyves asher loy b'nisa. It was malach the nasas ayadeacher. You're going to see these fortified cities, big houses, things that you didn't even have to pay for. You didn't have to build. Ubatim Malayim Koltov, and they're gonna be houses that are gonna be filled with koltov, asholoi milisa. You didn't stock the pantry. Someone else did. Ubayrois chatsuvim asholoi chatzafta. Kromim vizesim asholoi notata. Viochalta visavata, says the Torah. Torah says you're gonna enjoy it. It's all yours. The Gemara Masechta Schul in Daf Yizayin Amar Aleph says that from this pasuk you see a chiddush nifla. Because these seven nations that were living in Eretz Yisrael at the time, that had stocked those proverbial pantries and refrigerators, were they stocked with food with haimash ashkuchas? Of course not. It was non-kosher food. And still the pasuk says, v'yochalta v'savata, says the Gemara. Rav said that you see from here that a yid was allowed to eat everything that he found in the house of the non-Jew. Afilu kadli de chaziri. Even the chaser, everything was okay. It's a mufurish apostle. It says you're going to see bottom lame called tovachaloy milisa. Who parish to machaloy chasav to grum vizay machaloy natato vio chalto visavato. Who bottom lame called tov. It sounds like no matter what's there, you'd be allowed to. It's freak to shagasaya. A gvaldikash. The ruin advarim lemicha abram. Now what was the problem when Yidin entered Eretz Yisrael to eat from the Tefuah Chadasha? You worried about Chadash? They were allowed to eat afilu kadli de chaziri. There was no problem with macholis asuris at all. Everything was off limits. So if they were allowed to eat even the kadli de chaziri, then what's the problem? Azoy tishag azari, your friend. A bomba kasha. It's the Beis Halevi in Chela Gimel at the very end. It's in Simin Nun Beis. He says of half of the guitars. He says Mavur Rabbi Yitzchak said in Masach Tikkris Daf Hey Amar Aleph that if someone eats lechem koli v'karmel even with one asra, the halacha is he's loike shloisha. And the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos, without saying it, explains Rabbi Yitzchak Shita because there are three separate lavin. Even though it's technically a lav shabaklolus, it says only one time loisoichlu. The Gemara addresses that, but at the end of the day, lechem loisoichlu, v'koli loisoichlu, v'karma loisoichlu, which means that each one is in an individual lav. Says the Beis Levi, I want to ask you a kasha. Let's say Yid would enter Eretz Yisrael. So he comes into Eretz Yisrael, and there's a behema. He gets everything, bottom lamb, kol tov. You get to keep the houses. It's all yours. So you got the behema, and now, a year later, the behema died. It became an avela. Would a Yid be allowed to eat it? Maybe you'll say that where did this behemoth come from? I got it from the non-Jew. I got it from that Yid who's from Girgashi. That behemoth technically is included in Afilu Kadli de Chaziri that maybe I should be able to eat it, even though it became an avela. But the Beis Halevi says about it, that's a tais. Had it been an avela when the Yid walked into this hut, into this house, he would have found an avela sitting in the freezer. He says, okay, that's for dinner tonight. That's not a problem. Afilu Kadli de Chaziri, v'yochalto v'savato. Sounds like it's a mitzvah. It's not an issue. It's something that for sure you'd be allowed to do. But over here where you got the behemoth, and then it was nisnavil in the rishus of the yid, it's pasha. You wouldn't be allowed to. Either who cares where the behemoth came from? It's pasha. Everyone knows that. It's pasha. It had to have become usser in the rishus of the guy. So when you walked in, and you found it in a state of iser, even though ordinarily there's a whole parasha macholos asuris. Over here, the parasha macholos asuris is not going to be applicable. Says the Beis Halevi Tov and Nifla. When the Yidden entered Eretz Yisrael, so they came in and there was grain. That grain, there was no issa chadash. It's pasha, there was no issa chadash. The shagasari is gerecht. So if a Yid wanted to take a stalk of toasted grains and start crunching it, it's fine. That's fine, you can eat it. It's not a problem. Because that's Macholas asurois, that's bottom layim kol tov, I feel kadli de chaziri, certainly there's not going to be a problem with the issa chadash. But matzah is not koli and it's not caramel. Matzah is lechem. When you break the bread, you're not being over now and you eat it in a state of chadash, the issa koli and caramel. It's a new lav. It's not lav loisaseh 190 or 191, it's loisaseh 189. That lav was nischadash in the rishus of the yid. It's pasha, you're not going to have the heter over there of kadli de chaziri. If it was all one lav, if lechem, koli and caramel is one lav, so the same loisaseh that you have on this lechem, when it was caramel, you have when it's kali, you have when it's lechem. This lav was hutra. It was mutter because you took it from the rishus of the guy. So now you bake it. It's the zelbik lav. That lav has a heter of afilu kadli de chaziri of ubatim aleim kol tov. But that loisase, that lav is not here anymore. That loisase is bygones. That loisase is in the books. Now it's a new loisase. What's the new loisase? It's the loisase of lechem. That loisase of lechem says the Beis Halevi was nischadish. That was created in the rishus of the yid. He said, it's no different than the behema of a guy that was nesnabel in the Rishos of Yid, where it's pasha, you wouldn't have the heter of kadli de chaziri. Either way, beautiful kasha from the Shagas Aryeh and a tremendous teretz from the Beis Halevi. We'll save the second ara. So the next part of the daf is going to discuss another one of the 36 chayvi krisos that were mentioned in the first Mishnah in the Masechta, and that is the halacha of Shemen HaMishkan. It actually discusses not just one, but two of the chayvi krisos, and for this we need a little bit of an introduction. So we're all loosely familiar with the Shemen HaMishkan. What exactly was the Shemen HaMishkan? So it's psukim tucked away in Parshas Kisisa. The pasuk says, "Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe lemar perek lamid pasuk chav beis va'ata kach lecha b'samim rosh." Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, you should take besom and roish. What does roish mean? Rashi says, chashuvim. So you should take very chashuva besomim. Which ones? Mardarar, chamesh meyos. You should take mardarar, that's a specific herb, as we'll see in the Gemara, that weighs 500 shkalim. The kinman besen, kinman is cinnamon. Kinman besen, machtzisa chamishim masayin. How much should you take? It should be so much that half of it weighs 250 shekel, which is just a roundabout way of saying it should also weigh 500 shekel. Ukne bison, that's another herb, chamishim masayin. That weighs 250 shekel. Vekida, neishte kida, that's a fourth herb, chamesh meyos, b'shekel ha-kodesh, which also weighs 500 shekel, b'shekel ha-kodesh, v'shemen zayisin, and then you should take shemen zayis. So what were the ingredients for the shemen ha-mishcha? So it was made up of a bunch of herbs, four to be exact. We know how much they had to weigh. It seems very, very precise. And in addition to that, there had to be shemen zayis. How much shemen zayis? A hin. A hin is made up of yud beis lugan. 12 lugan. Vasisa isa shemen mishchas kodesh. And from this concoction, you should make the shemen mishchas kodesh. Roikach, mirkachas, maiser akech. You should mix it very, very well. Shemen mishchas kodesh. Okay, what do you do with the shemen ha-mishcha? It's all psukim in the Torah. Umashachta bais oil moyed. Number one, you should anoint the oil moyed. So the oil moyed had to be smeared with the shemen ha-mishcha. Veis aroinoidos. And the aron also had to be smeared with the shemen ha-mishcha. Ves ha-shulchan, ves kol kelov. Ves ha-menoira, ves kelel. Ves mizbach ha-ketoiris. Ves mizbach ha-oilo. Ves kol kelov. Ves ha-kir, ves kanoi. Ve-kidash to-oisan. And by doing this, you'll be mekadosh to kelim. Ve-hoyu kodesh kodoshim. Kol ha-negeu behem yikdosh. Aloch is a mizbeach mekadosh. Ves ha-haren, ves bon of timshach. Not just that, you're supposed to take the shemen ha-mishcha and you should do mishicha on a-haren of bonim as well. So not only on the mishkan, not only on the kelim of the mishkan, but on a-haren and sons as well. By them getting the shemen ha-mishcha, they're now going to attain kedusha. Additionally, shemen mishchas kodesh yezel li l'doyr seichem. That this shemen mishchas kodesh is going to be mine l'doyr seichem. The Gemara is going to say that the shemen ha-mishcha of Moshe Rabbeinu b'derech nes remained l'doyr seichem. And here, this is where our sugya gets negeya. Al besar adam lo yisach. You have to be very, very sure. The ordinary yid, the zar, the al b'nei Yisrael tadabal lemer has to understand that the shemen ha-mishcha is something that's set aside for very, very holy things. For the ilmayid, the kelim, the kain gadol, aharon uvanav. But an ordinary yid is not allowed to touch it. Al besar adam lo yisach. Ubimaskuntai, another halacha, lo yisasu kamayu. A yid has to also make sure that he doesn't replicate the shemen ha-mishcha. Kodeshu, kodesh yelochem. And here's the punchline. Isha sheyirkach kamayu. If someone's going to violate any one of these two laven, which two laven? Al besar adam lo yisach. He's going to take Moshe Rabbeinu shemen ha-mishcha, he's going to smear it on himself. Or ubimaskuntai lo yisasu kamayu. Or he's going to replicate it. Someone that does that, vashitem imenu azar, v'nichras meyamav, he's going to be chayiv kares. Hence, our Mishnah mentions amongst the 36 Chayvei Krisos two that relate to Shemen HaMishcha. What are the two? These two laven. Al besar adam lo yisach, which the Mishnah clarifies, means that you're not allowed to take the Shemen HaMishcha of Moshe Rabbeinu and put it on someone that's not supposed to have it, ube maskunt leisasa kamoyu, that you're not allowed to go ahead and you're not allowed to replicate it. Zok de Gemara. Hamefatim es Hashem. Tanu Rabbanu. Hamefatim es Hashem. And if somebody replicates the Shemen HaMishcha, so if he did it, little my boy, he did it simply because he wanted to learn. He wanted to understand how you're supposed to make it. He read the psukim and he wants to now illustrate it, so he'll understand Chumash Rashi a little bit better. Or he did it because he wasn't going to use it for himself. He was making it to give it over to the tzibur. Potter. There it's potter. Losuch, if he did it to use himself, chayef. This is a chiddush. That the only time you chayef if you mefat in the Shemen HaMishcha for recreating the Shemen HaMishcha is if your intention was to use it and use it on yourself. But if you planned on not using it at all, or even if you were going to give it to somebody else to use, then it's not going to be an issue. The hasach mimenu potter. Additionally, if somebody makes his own shemen ha-mishcha and then he uses his own shemen ha-mishcha, he puts it on himself. So even though he was over the iser uvu maskunta leisasa kamoyu, but at the same time, as it relates to the other iser, al b'sar adam leisach, that is not going to be over. That you're only over if you use Moshe Rabbeinu. Lefi she'in chayoven el Hashem ha-mishcha she'asa Moshe b'van. Omemar lu moy boy ayam anas lemoyse b'tzibur. Potter says, remember, how do you know that if somebody makes the Shem ha-mishcha, but his intention is not to use it for himself, his intention is lu moy boy or to give it to the tzibur? How do you know that's not a problem? Asyo uvu maskuntai min. It says over here very clearly, you find the same word, and by the Ketores it says, and we learn from there. So in the coming days, we're going to learn a lot about the Ketores. The Ketores has the same loisas. We saw that already in the Mishnah, that just like you weren't allowed to replicate the Shemen HaMishcha, you weren't allowed to replicate the Ketores either. And there it says, which means it's only asa for yourself, but is okay. It's got Shemen.
Nami, the Maisel Ritzibur, Potter is going to be Potter.
Afraid to Gemara, if you have Xer Shava between Shemin HaMishcha and Ketores, but the Hadik Ketores and Nelef Mishemin, then maybe we should learn Allah from Ketores from Shemin. This we learn Shemin from Ketores. Just like by Ketores, it's Lochem, so too by Shemin HaMishcha has to be Lochem as well. But maybe learn the reverse, Mas Shemin, Ki Mefatim L'chatzon Potter. By Shemin, the Allah is that the only time you're over is if you made the entire Shemin HaMishcha. What was the entire Shemin HaMishcha? So we saw the ingredients in the Pasuk. But if you'd only make part of it, let's say you wouldn't use all the Shemin. So instead of using a hin, you'd use a chatzi a hin. Then it wouldn't be a problem. You have to use the whole thing. So after Teres, Nami ki mefatim l'chatzon potter, why shouldn't the halacha be the same thing by the Keteres? Allah ma'am ha-rova, Keteres shepitim l'chatzon chayiv, Shemin shepitim l'chatzon potter. You see, it's not the same thing. Amalach Rav, Rav is going to tell you, you got me, Shemin ksevu b'maskunto lo yisasu kamayu. It says kamayu. What does kamayu mean? Kamayu huda aser av l'chatzi shabadami. You're not allowed to make it kamayu, the way Moshe Rabbeinu made it. Moshe Rabbeinu made it the way the Torah specifies it. So only then is it going to be a problem. It doesn't say kamayu. It just says ashetase. Kol asiya de k'toris. Anything that's considered asiya in the world of k'toris is going to be included in the iser. It's efshe de mak de pras shachris upras bein arbayim. Right? How much k'toris was brought every day? A mana of k'toris was brought, but it was brought twice. There was the k'toris was brought in the morning, and it was brought bein arbayim. Just like the tamid shal shachris, tamid bein arbayim. There was the k'toris shal shachris and the k'toris shal bein arbayim as well. So a chatzi mana was brought in the morning, chatzi mana was brought in the evening. A chatzi mana is considered an asiya of k'toris because that's the shear for each ma'isa k'tora. And being that over here it says k'toris ashetas, it's a by shemir amishcha where it says uve maskunto leisasu kamayu. Kamayu means the way Moshe Rabbeinu made it there. You have the full shear as opposed to k'toris. You're right, there's a gzeirah shava, but the gzeirah shava is not going to be mafkia or mafurish apasik. Even if al tik gzeirah shava kala beinecha, but at the same time, if you have a gzeirah shava on one side and you have a Mefurish Apostling on the other side, obviously the Mefurish Apostling is going to take precedence. Tanu Rabbanan. So we went through the Pasuk that mentioned specifically what the ingredients of the Shemin HaMishcha were. Again, what were the ingredients? The Pasuk says, V'atakach l'cha b'samim roish murderer chameshmeh. So b'samim roish means just chashev b'samim. So we know everything mentioned in the Pasuk is roish. Is chashuvim. What exactly? So we have murderer, which weighs 500 shkalim. You have kinman besem, half of which weighs 250 shkalim, which means all of it weighs 500 shkalim. You have knei boisem, which weighs chamisha masayim, only 250 shkalim. Kida, chamesh meyos, and kida, which weighs 500 shkalim. What type of shkalim? Shekel HaKodesh, says the Braisa. Shemin HaMishcha was made out of Mardoror Chamesh Meyos. Kida Chamesh Meyos. Kinman Besem Chamesh Meyos. Uknei Boisem Chamishem U'masayim. So this is essentially what the Pasuk says, albeit in a different order. Nimtzu Kulon, so if you do the math, says the Braisa, Elef Ushva Meyos V'chamishem. So these herbs, these were the roots of herbs. So these roots, these herbs weighed how much? 1,750 shkol. Faith the Gemara, Tana Minyana Kamash one. Does the Pasuk have to do the math for me? Or does the Tana have to do the math for me? The Gemara, Tana Hakakashale. No, the Tana actually did. Because the Tana wanted to clarify a little bit. Because Ema, you could read the Pasuk in a little bit of a misleading way. You could think that Knei Boisem is Kekin Mon Besem. And Ma Kin Mon Besem, Machtzis is confusing. Knei Boisem and Kin Mon Besem, they're not the same thing. So just like Kin Mon Besem, Machtzis, Kin Mon Besem, half of it weighed 250, which means how much did all of it weigh? 500. Is av k'nei boisim, you would think that maybe k'nei boisim is the same thing. Machtzisoy chamishim u'masayim. And if that's the case, then if only half of the k'nei boisim is 250, that means the whole k'nei boisim is 500, havalu train alofim. So then it's going to be 2,000, not 1,750. Meaning all four herbs have to be 500 each. You could have made that mistake, and therefore the Tana wanted to do the math so you understand 100%. Three of them weighed 500. One of them weighed 250. Efshataka. Now, the Efshataka is really based on how you read the Pasuk, without making this too confusing. But if you have a Pasuk in front of you, it's very straightforward. That's easy. Then you have Kinman Besem, which is Machtzisei Chamishim U'Masayim. And then Uknei Boisem Chamishim U'Masayim. So here's the question. Knei boisem also means machtzisei chamishim u'masayim? Or maybe not. Kinman besen machtzisei chamishim u'masayim. Knei boisem doesn't say the word machtzisei. There it says chamishim u'masayim. So the Gemara says, ve'im achinami, maybe knei boisem, it's not chamishim u'masayim. Maybe it's machtzisei chamishim u'masayim. The Gemara answers, no, k'nei name kara. The Pasuk should have said, kinman besem u'knei boisem mechza u'mechza chamishim u'masayim. Being that it said, clearly machtzisei regarding kinman besem, and it didn't say machtzisei regarding kinei boisem. That's how you know the kinman besem is 500. It's only machtzisei chamishim u'masayim, as opposed to kinei boisem
All of it is 250. When the herbs were weighed to determine 500, 250 respectively. Was it done behechra or was it not done behechra? And the background to this is really a halacha and chayshe mishpat, to sugi masachnas bava basra, that if you're selling somebody something, so in the olden days they would use the scales, the weight, the masnayim, chayshel. So what they would do is they would make sure that you had to make sure it wasn't exact. Because this halachos that involved the mishkalos, a very chomer thing, right? Lama nisvacha parshas mishkalos, the parshas amolik, and then the parshas kiseitze. So you had to make sure that you didn't rip the person off that you were selling to. So in order to make sure you do that, you do is you were machriya the kaf a little bit, right? You machriya sa kaf. So how you machriya the kaf? You made sure that his side weighed a little bit lower. So instead of it being equal, you wanted to tip the scale a little bit. So Rapapa asked Abaya, what about this? What about when they were making the Shemen HaMishcha? It seems like it had to be very precise. So now we have a Shiloh. You're going to weigh the 500 shkolim. Are you going to be machriya the kaf, the way every moicher is, per Masechtas Bava Basra? Or maybe here it was ayin ba'ayin u'shoikol, you tried not, you wanted it to be 100% perfect. So Abaya told Rapapa, it's a pasuk. Rachmana kasa bad bevad. That amrit be'echra. Now the truth is, bad bevad is written by Ketairis, but we said before there's a gzera shava between Ketairis and Shemana Mishcha. So there's aloha bad bevad. Bad teaches me that it has to be perfect, precise. It's not supposed to be be'echra. Fainting about Rabbi Yehuda, it's not true. Didn't Rabbi Yehuda say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yedei HaChrois? Amadislei HeChra. Rabbi Yehuda said that even though we try our best to figure out the ingredients of the Shemen HaMishcha. So if somebody asked you, what were the ingredients of the Shemen HaMishcha? Exactly. How much did it weigh? I know exactly. 500, 500, 500, 250. It's 1,750. The price even did the math for us. But Rabbi Yehuda said, really, we don't know exactly. You know why? Because there were hechras. Each weighing had to be done with a hechra. I mean that it had to be done with a hechra, there was a little bit extra that only the Eibishter knows. We didn't count that. So we don't really know what the exact amount was. But what do you see from there? The Rav Yehuda held that they were machriya the kaf. Didn't Abaye said it's a pasuk? Bad bevad. Papa asked the shayla. Were they machriya or were they not machriya? Abaye said, what's the shayla? It says bad bevad. I hear it. The problem is Rav Yehuda, another Amayra, said Mefurish that they were Machriya. He said it in the context of a Dvar Agada. He said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yodea HaChrois. But clearly, there were HaChrois. He was talking specifically about the HaChrois of the weighings of the Shemen HaMishcha. So the Gemara says, Rav Yehuda Savar, Rav Yehuda holds that Kinman Besen, he was bothered with the following question. Meaning, he knew it says Bad Bevad by Ketores, and based on the Gzeir Shava, B'maskunta, B'maskunta, you should have the same exact halacha by Shemen HaMishcha. But Rav Yehuda held that it was Mefurish in the Pasuk that you're supposed to be machriya. Where's the mafurish? Very gishmak. Because I might see machzi say the chamish meyos, chamishim u'masayim b'chad zimno, u'chamishim u'masayim b'chad zimno. He was bothered that why did the Torah say that when you weigh the kinman besen, you should, it says machzi say chamishim u'masayim. We said it's a very roundabout way of saying it. How much kinman besen? Well, half of it is 250. Aha. Half is 250. All of it is 500. Just say 500. By the kida, it said 500. By the murderer, it said 500. By the knei bison, which is 250, it said 250. Here it says half of it is 500. There has to be a reason. You know what the reason probably is, Rabbi Yehuda said? Probably because that's what you're supposed to weigh it. You're supposed to weigh it 250, 250. But why weigh it 250 for 250? Just weigh it 500. You know why? Because it's going to happen afgemina with the hechra. Because every time you weigh, there's a hechra. Is it going to be one hechra? Or is it going to be two hachrois? Am I maisi machzisi l'chamesh meis, chamesh umasayim b'chadzim, chamesh umasayim b'chadzim, no, maskeven the kulon chamesh meis, habi naisi chamesh meis, b'vasach ha-shmami, no. Shem Yehuda said, v'dekom maisel, l'kim en besmet rei zimni, hechra isbe, v'akadosh baruch yedei hachrois. So the bottom line is, Rabbi Yehuda held that akadosh baruch yedei hachrois, he held that they were machriya, and even though by the Torah they weren't, maybe, because it says bad bevad, but the bottom line is that over here, it's mefurish in the pasuk. It's mefurish. So afraid the Gemara, my bad bevad. I mean, the Gemara is bothered. The Gemara doesn't want Ketores and Shemen HaMishcha to be different, because there's a gzeir shava between the two, even though earlier we said it was different, maybe. But it's still not l'katchila. So the Gemara addresses, is there another way for you to learn bad bevad? Bad bevad doesn't mean precise, because really they were machriya. What could bad bevad mean? Amar Avino. Yeah, what it means is, shaloi Yaniach Mishko b'Mishko v'Yishko. That when you use the weights, you had to use real weights. Meaning, what happens if you weighed first the Kida, and now you know it weighs 500 shekel, and now you're weighing the murderer? So instead of using a weight, maybe I'll just use the Kida, which I know is 500 shekel. And if the murderer equals the Kida, so I'll know it's Alocha Bad Bevad. That teaches me that's not something you're allowed to do. So on the topic of Shemen HaMishcha, we're going to have some Divrei Agada. Some much welcomed Divrei Agada. Tanu Rabbanon. It's been a while. Shemen HaMishcha. Since we're Daf Tezayin. Shemen HaMishcha. And before that, Shemen HaShasa Moshe Bamidbar HaYosholka Yimo Ikrin. The Shemen HaMishcha that Moshe Rabbeinu made, he cooked together with these roots. So all these herbs that we mentioned, these were the roots of these herbs, and they were cooked together with the shemen. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Amar Rabbi Yosi. So Rabbi Yosi told Rabbi Yehuda, how could you cook all these herbs together with the shemen ha-mishka? The proportion, the ratio between the shemen and all these herbs was so small that if you wanted to smear it, just take the oil and coat, right, just smear the roots with the oil, you wouldn't be able to do it. If you couldn't smear it with it, how could you cook it, right? You cook, you need a big pot of water and you want to put the things that you want to cook inside of it. There was so little shemen relative to all these ikrin. Okay, Ella, so what happened? So Rabbi Yossi said what really happened was first Moshe Rabbeinu took these roots and he soaked them in water. And then he took the oil and he just poured the oil on top of the roots. And the reason he did that was because he wanted a little bit of the reyach of the roots to go into the oil. And then he went and he took the oil, and that's it. But he didn't cook it. He said it wasn't physically possible to cook. So Rabbi Yehuda said that what Moshe Rabbeinu do, meaning the pasuk gives us the ingredients, but doesn't give us the recipe. It doesn't tell us how long you're supposed to cook it, how high it's supposed to be. Right? We don't know. We know a lot of information, but we don't know everything. And that's why there's machlekes tanah. So Rabbi Yehuda said, you take the oil, you cook it all together. Basically, how are you cooking it together? It's not physically possible. So what you did was you poured the oil on top of the roots, and it got a little bit of the scent, and that's how you're. I'm like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda told Rabbi Yosi. He says, "Really, that's your kasha. This is your kasha. The only thing you don't understand is about the shemen hamishka is this. V'chines echa nasir. Was there only one miracle? Meaning, if I learned that this is the pshat, you don't want to be soymich on my nes. This is going to be the only nes. V'aloi nisim harbe nasu moy mitchilasoy vatsoy. Literally from beginning to end, this was all miracles. Chilasoy haya l'shnei masaloy. The whole thing was 12 look. Uboy nimshach hamishka mekeila v'aharon ubanov kol shivisim emalun. Uboy nimshachu kehanim gedoylem umulach. V'kula kain vasalav. Shnei mashemem mishchas kodesh. Yezel there second. And Rabbi Yosi does artichnish. How you were able to take a little bit of oil and you were able to smear the oil mayid and the kalim and the harun of honor, by the way, every day for 7 days. And not just that, all the kohanim, gedolim, and the melachim, as we'll see, they were all anointed from it for doiri doiris. And it always remained 100% intact. So the whole thing was al derech nes. So no, if this is another miracle that they were able to cook 1,750 weights of shekel hakodesh worth of herbs together with 12 lugin of shemen hamishcha, it's just another miracle. Says the Gemara, b'gematria shneim asa lugin haben. By the way, you want to know how much oil was there? Says 12 lugin. Regardless, zok demar tanu rabbanon va'yikach moishe shemen hamishcha v'yimshach asa mishcha. Rabbi Yehuda, says shemen hamishcha shas moishe v'midbar harbin nisa nasa mitchilasi v'ad soifoy. This is the same Rabbi Yehuda. Tchilasoy loy haya elo shneim asa lugin. In the beginning, it was only 12 lugin. That's all it was. Said Rabbi Yehuda, Kama Yoira Baylas. The Yoira, the vat, the pot itself is Baylaya, right? That's Chulin 101. Kama Ikrin Baylin. The Ikrin, the roots, were certainly Baylaya. Kama Ha'ur Sayreif. The fire burnt a lot of it. It caused it to disintegrate. Uboy Nimshach Mishkan Ukela V'Hiron Uvanov Kol Shivisim Amaluin Uboy Nimshach Ukayanim Gedoylem Umelachin. Says the Braisa, Derech Agav. Parenthetically, so we mentioned that the Kehanim Gedolim and the Malachim were all Nimshach from the Shemen HaMishcha, which suggests that this is all our Derechnas. By the way, Vafilu Koyim Gadol, Ben Koyim Gadol, Ben Benoishal Koyim Gadol, no, Tan Mishicha. He also required Mishicha. The Ein Moishchim Melech Bemach. So it's interesting. If a Koyim Gadol dies, and his son is becoming the next Koyim Gadol, as it often happen, right? After Aharon HaKohen's Petir, right? That's always the way it went. The Laza became the next Koyen Gadol. So that's usually the way it was. But even though that's the way it was, you had to do a special Mashicha for the Ben Koyen Gadol. But as it related to a Melech, so even though a Melech who's becoming king for the first time needed Mashicha, but the Ein Moshchin Melech Mevim time, you're going to ask me a question with name Mashchu Shloima. How come Shloima Melech got Mashicha? He was a Ben Melech. His father David was the Melech. But name Machloik is Adoniyo. Because Adoniyo, Shloima Melech's son, was contesting the Malchus, and because of the Machloik, they felt that they had to do Mashicha. That's Yehoyash. Why did they do Mashicha for Yehoyash? B'pnei Asalya, because of Asalya. That's Yehoyachas. Why did they do Mashicha for Yehoyachas? B'pnei Yehoyachim Achiv, Sheyogod B'men Machash Deyashan. Because he was the younger brother. We'll see more about this in the Gemara. And that's why they felt they had to do Mashicha. Zok the Gemara, Amamar. V'afilu Koyen Gadol Ben Koyen Gadol Ta Mashicha. How do you know that? Because it says, V'akoyen HaMashiach Tachtov Mibonav. So it's talking about the Kohen Gadol's son, who's going to be the Kohen Gadol, and refers to him as how? The Kohen HaMashiach. So you see from there that a Ben Kohen Gadol has to be Mashiach. He has to have Mashiach. Says the Gemara, meaning, name a krav a Kohen Shetachta Mibonov, my HaMashiach, HaKamashmon Dafilu Mibonov, Ahudim Mashach, Havi Kohen Gadol, Vili Loi Mashach, Lei Havi Kohen Gadol. That a Kohen Gadol, Ben Kohen Gadol, has to have Mashiach. Omamar, Eim Moishchem Melech Ben Melech Minolam. How do you know? The Omar Vach by Yaakov Tichsiv. Because it says, the Man Yarech Yomim, Al Mamlachtoi, Hu Uvonov, and the end of the Pasuk is, Bekerev Yisrael. And we learn from there, Yerusha. We know that the Melucha went over by Yerusha. So being that it went over by Yerusha, it wasn't necessary to do Mashiach for the Ben Melech. Now the truth is, the Kohen Gadol also went over by Yerusha. So if the Kohen Gadol also went over by Yerusha, why did you have to do Mashiach for a Kohen Gadol Ben Kohen Gadol? So we have a lot to talk about with that, but we're going to probably have to save it for another day. Says the Gemara, Ayin Tshuvas Chassam Soifa Erechaim Simen Yud Beis. Name Mamoshko Eshloimoi. Why did they do Mashiach for Shloimoi? If there's no Mashiach for a Melech Ben Melech, then how come Shloimoi Melech HaMashiach? Name Achloik of Adoniyo. How do you know what this machlokes have to do Mashiach? But like called the boy Malka Moiris Le Malchus. Maybe the father decides which one of his sons goes over by Yerusha. That's why there's never Mashiach. So if the father decides who should yarshin him, you could do that. So if the father decides which one of his children should be the melech, he should yarshin as well. Sounds like there's a din when there's machlokes. For some reason, you need Mashiach. Amra Papa, yeah, Amra Kro. It says who uvana bekerav Yisrael bisman sheyei sholim biYisrael. Half of a fellow. When there's shalom in Klal Yisrael, that's when you have this halacha. But when there's no shalom in Klal Yisrael, you don't have the halacha of Yerusha as it relates to the din that you're not going to need Mashiach. Mashiach. The Mechas Chinuch, I'm sorry. The Mechas Chinuch of Mitzvah Kuv Zayin asks, if that's the case, how come Rechavam ben Shloimo didn't have Mashiach? This is a pshat, Mechas Chinuch. How come Bishmak Akasha, how come Rechavam ben Shloimo didn't need, what happened after Shloimo Melech passed away? So his son Rechavam became the next king. But not everybody wanted Rechavam to be king. And the kingdom and the nation was divided, literally to the point where it was almost completely torn apart. And it was divided amongst two Shvatim, Yehudim and Yamin, and then the Aseres HaShvatim. Rechavim became the Melech for Yehudim and Yamin, but Yeravim ben Nevat became the Melech for the Aseres HaShvatim, and would remain that way for a very long time until the Aseres HaShvatim went into Galus, and of course the rest is history. But Ein Locha Machloik is Gedoyla Mizu, that when Rechavim became Melech, and you don't find anywhere that there was Mashiach for Rechavim, says the Minchas Chinuch, and he says it's Poshet. Now what's the Teretz? What's the Yesoid of doing Mashiach when there's machloikis? What happens is if not everyone is accepting you as king, so we have to do Mashiach to establish your kingdom. But that's only if you're going to be king over the person that wasn't accepting you as king. So Shloimeh HaMelech became the melech of all of Klal Yisrael. His malchus was contested. But at the end of the day, there was one melech. It was only Shloimeh HaMelech. So to establish his malchus, we did Mashiach. As opposed to Rechavam, he never became king for the people that didn't want him to be king. The kingdom was divided. See, he was melech on people that accepted him as a melech. When there's a machloikis and I'm going to be melech on the person that's contesting me, that's when there's a din Mashiach. Either way, Tana, Af Yehu ben Nimshi loy Nimshach. Yehu ben Nimshi didn't have Mashiach, Ella, or meaning, the reason he had Mashiach was named Machloikis Yoirim ben Achav, because he too was involved in a Machloikis. Faith the Gemara, my table lead the Melech Rishon who Yehu ben Nimshi. Nimshi wasn't a Melech. So if his father wasn't a Melech, his Pasha he had to do Mashiach. The Gemara says, you're right. This Bryson needs a little bit of editing. Malchi based David Moshe. Malchi Yisrael, ain't Moshe. Very important halacha. Mashiach is only for Malchi Beis David. It's not true for Malchi Beis David. In time, you can ask me a question. Name Amashchu Yehu Ben Nimshi. Mipnei Machloikis Yoirim Ben Achav. Omemar Malchus Beis David Moishchem Vein Malchi Yisrael Moishchem. We know. How do you know that? The Chesiv, because it says by David Amalech Kum Moshcheu Ki Zehu. And we learn from this that Tom Mashiach David Amalech needed Mashiach. Ve'ein Achav Tom Mashiach. But if you're a Melech, not from David Amalech, you don't need Mashiach. Omemar Mipnei Machloikis Yoirim. So Yehu Ben Nimshi got Mashiach because of the machloikis of Yair, even though he was from the Malchi Yisrael, he wasn't from the Malchus Beis David. Still, we did Mashiach. Afreit Gemara Mishum Siluk Mishum Machloikis Yair Ben Achav Nibul B'Shem Mishcha. Because of a machloikis, you're going to be Moil. Shem Mishcha is Kodesh. Shem Mishcha is Kodesh. Isn't it Me'ilah? So Mikne Machloikis, you could be Moil. The Morsis could Amar Papa Bafaras Madachia Hachinami Bafaras Madachia. You have to say that it wasn't the real Shem Mishcha. It was something that looked like Shem Mishcha. It was a farsima, which is a type of oil, but it wasn't the real thing. The real thing, Chas V'Shalom, it's Me'ilah. That's Yoyachas B'nei Yoyakim Sheigal B'Menush Dei Shalom. Yoyachas they did Mashiach for as well, and the reason is because he was the younger brother. Yoyakim was 2 years older than him, and he was not the king. Now Yoyakim would become king, of course. He was the second to last third to last king of Klal Yisrael. But at that point, he was the older brother, and he wasn't going to be the melech yet. And it's for that reason that they did Mashiach. Says the Gemara, Mikoshish, is that true? Is Yoyachis, was Yoyakim older than Yoyachis? But the pasuk says, "Of Neyashio Habachar Yoychanan Hasheni Yoyakim Hashlishi Tzidkiyo Haravi Shalu Va'omar Rabbi Yechon." Rabbi Yechon said, "Who Yoyachus?" Va'omar Rabbi, I'm sorry, not Rabbi Yechon. This is tricky. Va'omar Rabbi Yoychanan, who Yoyachis? Yoychanan, who's mentioned, the pasuk is Yoyachis in Tzidkiyo, who Shalom. But what do you see? That who's the Bechar? Yoychanan, who's Yoyachis? What are you telling me that we had to do Mashiach because he's the younger brother and he's becoming Melech before his older brother? It's not true. It says, "Of Neyashio Habachar Yoychanan." And we know Yoychanan is. He's Yoyachas. The Gemara says, you're right. La'olam Yoyachim Kashas. Really, Yoyachim is the older brother. My car, the Bechar. The reason Yoyachas is referred to as the Bechar, because he was the first king. The Gemara says, no, why Taka? Why'd you make the younger brother? Mit Mashiach, whatever. But why'd you make him? So the Gemara says, he was a little bit more befitting to be the king. Who's Shalom? Who's Tzidkiyo? Shalom and Tzidkiyo are the same person. How could it be the same person? The Pasuk says, Yeshua had four sons. Yoychanan, Yoyakum. The third son was Tzidkiyo. The fourth son was Shalom. Rebbe said, who's Tzidkiyo? Who's Shalom? What do you mean? He's three and four respectively. How could it be the same person? So the Gemara says, not really, it is the same person. Ma umay kari le shlishi, shu shlishi lebanim. My kari le revi, shu revi lemalchus. He was the third son, but he was the fourth of Yeshio's family to be king. Why? Mishum the malach Yechonya kameh, because Yechonya was king before him. And who is Yechonya? Yechonya was Yehoyakim's son. Betchila malach Yehoyachas, v'soif malach Yehoyakim, v'soif malach Yechonya, v'soif malach Tzidkiyo. These are the last four kings of Klal Yisrael. So you had Yehoyachas and Yehoyakim, Yehoyachin, also known as Yechonya, mentioned in Megillas Esther, and finally Tzidkiyo. So Yehoyachas, Yehoyakim, and Tzidkiyo were all brothers. They were all the sons of Yoshio HaMelech, the great tzaddik Yoshio HaMelech. Yehoyachin, who was one of the kings, was not a son of Yoshio, but rather he was the son of Yehoyakim. So Tzidkiyo was the third oldest brother, but in terms of Yoshio's family, he was the fourth one to be the Melech. Tan Rabban, who Shalom, who Tzidkiyo? Lomani, Kishmai Shalom, 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 he was a son. Tzidkiyo, we know, was a tzaddik. Davar Acha Shalom, Shesholei Malchus based David Biyamov, because Malchus based David came to an end during his lifetime. Mashmai, what was his real name? So who Shalom, who Tzidkiyo? They're both not really his name. His name was Matanya Shmoy. Shenamar, it's a pasuk. It says, Vayamlech es Matanya doidoi tachtov, Vayasev es Shmoy Tzidkiyo. This is referring to Nebuchadnezzar. He called him Tzidkiyo. Damaloi Tzidkiyo. Why did Nebuchadnezzar call Matanya Tzidkiyo? He told him, Kot yatztik olecha es adin. He told him, Im timroid bi, meaning, it's very simple. If you're going to work for me, everything's going to be fine. But if you're going to be murdered in me, it's not going to be fine. Shenema vayove yosei ba'ala. He made him swear. Tzivagam ba'melech nebuchadnezzar morod asher ishbiyo lekim. The Gemara says in Masechet Nesedarim that Tzidkiyo was matir ishvua. It's a whole nother shayla. It's a shayla for another day. But says the Gemara, one last Gemara. Mi have shemen ha-mishcha. So Yehoyachis, the Gemara said, was anointed with the shemen ha-mishcha. Why? Because he was younger than Yehoyakim. And if the younger brother is the one that's becoming king, so we need to have Shemen HaMishcha. Tanya, Feitigamar Mishin Nignas Aron. When the Aron was hidden, Nignas Sinsenes Haman, the Mon was hidden together with it. Utzloiches Shemen HaMishcha. The Tzloiches of the Shemen HaMishcha. The Shemen HaMishcha was hidden together with the Aron. Umaklish Al Aharon Shkedim Uprachim. Aharon's stick that had Shkedim Uprachim after the story of Korach was also hidden. The Argosh Shigur Plishim Darim Lekei Yisrael. And the gift that the Plishim sent, the Yidin, after the Aron was captured and they sent the Aron back together with gifts, that was all hidden together with the Aron. Shenem, as the pasuk says, was klei azov asher ashivayis amliyashav tosimu ba'argus mitzidah. Now, umi gonzoi, who hit the Aron? Who's the one that hid the Aron together with its insenes hamon, the tzloiches of the shemen ha-mishcha, the makel of Aharon, and the arugish ha-shigra pishim d'ar l'kei Yisrael? Yeshio melech Yehuda gonzoi. Shenemar, the pasuk says, vayoymer, Yeshio said, la'levim ha-mevinim, l'chol Yisrael, la'kdoishim la'ashem, tnu asarin ha-kodesh, go ahead and hide it, because he realized that the base of Mitzvah would be destroyed and it would be taken into captivity. He didn't want it to be taken. So he went ahead and he hid it. Rabbi Loz said, as yeshama shama, okay, so we know that the Aron was hidden. How do you know all these things were hidden with it? So he said, we learn exerish. shava, shama, shama. It says by the aron shama. It says by the man shama. Ask you doiros doiros. It says by the man doiros. It says by the shaman amishcha doiros. Ask you mishmeres, mishmeres. Talk about lo'ilu malti gzeiros shava kala beinecha. And it says mishmeres by the shaman amishcha. Says mishmeres by maklish ala haroin. The bottom line is that you see the aron with the man and the shaman amishcha. That's what we need in your neinu. Was all hidden bimei yoshiel. So how could your yachas's son had shaman amishcha? Rapapa said what we saw earlier about Faris and Adachio. It wasn't the real Shemin Amishcha exile. So one Ha'ara, if we have time, maybe we'll start the second Ha'ara as well. So we're talking about the Shemin Amishcha, and the Gemara brought a Braisa that discussed all the different things that the Shemin Amishcha was used for. It's really a psukim in the Torah. It's in Parashas Kisisa. One of the things that the Shemin Amishcha was used for was a Kohen Gadol. So if someone became Kohen Gadol, he had to be smeared with the Shemin Amishcha. And even a Kohen Gadol, Ben Kohen Gadol, he too needed the Shemin HaMishcha. Melech ben Melech not. But a Kohen Gadol ben Kohen Gadol, yeah. And this was something that was going to be true, the Dairus. We also saw that the Gemara says that Yoshio HaMelech, when he realized the impending disaster that was coming to Klal Yisrael, the Beis HaMikdash wasn't going to be destroyed, he didn't want the Aron to be taken into captivity. Although it's a machlekes in the Gemara in different places in Shas, whether the Aron was Nignaz or the Aron was Nigla, was taken into Galus. But Yoshio HaMelech, according to this version, didn't want the Aron to be taken away, so he hid it. And when he hid some things with it. The things that were always with it. What was always with the Aron? So you had a Tzinsenes HaMan, that was one jar of man, dating back to the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, it was there, L'dayrois, everyone should know that once upon a time there was an unbelievable miracle that happened to the Yid, and Hashem sustained an entire nation in the Midbar, that was hidden together with it. It was always with the Aron, it was hidden with the Aron. The Shemin HaMishcha, the miraculous stick of Aharon HaKoy. But regardless, the Shemin HaMishcha was hidden. Meaning, at the end of Bayis Rishon, which is when Yoshua HaMelech lived, there was no Shemin HaMishcha anymore. Stating that, there was still Kehanim Gedoilim. There would be Kehanim Gedoilim until the Churban, and then Bayis Sheni, which stood for 420 years, there were going to be Kehanim Gedoilim. Now, many of the Kehanim Gedoilim, these man Bayis Sheni were Rishon, but yeah, Shemin HaTzadik, it was a Tzadik. And yeah, there were Kehanim Gedoilim for hundreds and hundreds of years. There was no Shemin HaMishcha. So clearly, you see from here, that even though there's a din to anoint, to be Moshech, the Kohen Gadol with Shemin HaMishcha, it's not Ma'akev. It's the Katchil. Clearly it's not Ma'akev. How do you know that? It's basic math. Yeshua HaMelech hid it in the end of Bayis Rishon. We never got it back, and there was a whole Bayis Sheni. You had Kriyan and Gedolim, they entered the Kodesh HaKadoshim, they did the Avodah, it wasn't Chulim Bazar. So you see clearly that even though there's a din to do Mashiach on a Kohen Gadol, even a Kohen Gadol ben Kohen Gadol, but it's not something that's Ma'akev. Stating that, so what happens when you live during Bayis Sheni, for example, and we're about to anoint or appoint a Kohen Gadol, and we don't have the Shemin HaMishcha. So what did they do? So there was another way to become Kohen Gadol. Another way to become Kohen Gadol was a Kohen Gadol would put on the Shemayin HaBagadim, and he would do an Avodah, and when he did Avodah with the Shemayin HaBagadim, that somehow inaugurated him, that converted him, it increased his Kedusha. Now he's going to be a Kohen Gadol. So the Kohen Gadol could be Kohen Gadol through Shemin HaMishcha. That was this ritual, this inauguration, so to speak, of making him a Kohen Gadol. And then you had the other way of doing it, where he put on the Begadim. Is there a Nafka Mina between a Kohen Gadol that became Kohen Gadol through the Shemin HaMishcha, or a Kohen Gadol that became Kohen Gadol simply because he wore the Shemayin HaBegadim, did the Avodah? It's a Mishnah. Where's the Mishnah? In the first parak of Masechtas Megillah. Daf Tes Amid Beis. Ein Bein Koyim Mashuach B'Shemin HaMishcha. Limeru B'Begadim. There's one Nafka Mina. Masechtas Hayiris. Elo Parabo Al Kol HaMitzvos. One of the special parim that the Kohen Gadol had to bring in the event that he paskin, that he made a mistake, and he did an Averish, was doing a Karis, whatever. That par, Koyim Mashiach, was only brought if the Koyim was Mashiach. He had to be anointed with the Shemin HaMishcha. He was only Merubah B'Gadol. But otherwise, he would have a regular din of a Kohen Gadol. The truth is, there was one other Kohen that had to have Mashiach. We didn't mention it in the sugya, but there was one other Kohen that had to have Mashiach. The Kohen Mashuach Mulchama. Kohen Mashuach Mulchama was the chief general. He was the chief of staff. He would lead the Yidden into war. He had to be a Kohen. He had to be a Kohen. And he was Mashuach Mulchama. Meshuach Mechama means he also had to have Mashiach. He had to be Meshuach B'Shemin HaMishcha. The Mechaz Chinuch, a mitzvah, Kuf Zayin, says a beautiful chiddush. He says, it's pasha to me that after Yoshio HaMelech hid the Shemin HaMishcha, at that point there couldn't be a Kohen Meshuach Mechama anymore. He says, why? Because in order to increase your level of Kiddush, you have to do something. That's why there was Shemin HaMishcha. You had to do something. And even the Kohen Gadol, when there was no Shemin HaMishcha, so he had to wear the Shemayin HaBagadim and do Avodah with the Shemayin HaBagadim. But the Kohen Meshuach, there was nothing to do. Shmaida Begadim, he would out Begadim. If he would wear the Shmaida Begadim, he chayv misa. He's not allowed to wear the Shmaida Begadim. And there was no special avoida that he did. He says to go out and give the Yidin a pep talk before they go to war, to say Shma Yisrael. That's not That's not avoida. That can't be mechanechim. So says the Menachas Chinuch, I want to say a chiddush. He says, I want to say that even though there was kehanim gedolim during Bayis Shani, of course, and even though there was no shemen amishkan, the pasuk says you have to have shemen amishkan. Okay, you have a coin that's merubah begodim, and aim bein coin meshuach b'shemen amishkan merubah begodim. The power that's all it is. You had a regular coin gadol, but the coin meshuach mechama when Yeshio Amelech hid the shemen amishkan together with the aron and the bayis rishon, that ended the concept of there was no Meshuach Mechama anymore. It didn't exist anymore. Because in order to have a Meshuach Mechama, you need the Shemen HaMishcha, and if there's no Shemen HaMishcha, you can't. By the way, a Kohen Meshuach Mechama has dinim. The Gemara says there's five halachas that he has, like a Kohen Gadol. Can't marry an Amana, he has to marry a Basula, he can't be Metamat the Kraven. There's real halachas regarding the Kohen Meshuach B'Shemen HaMishcha. Says the Mechas Chinuch, but if that's the case, you have to say one thing, and that is, U'mashe nimtzo b'sefer Yosifun, she Yehuda HaMakabi, U'matisyo Kohen Gadol. They were kehanim. They were meshuchei mechama. Says the Michas Chinuch, you have to say that it's a misnomer. They weren't really meshuchei mechama because the meshuach mechama needed shemen amishcha. And when did the story of Chanukah happen? It happened by Yesheni. Yehuda HaMakabim at the Siyok Kohen Gadol could not have been the Kohen Meshuach Mechama. No, what it means is that they led the Yidden into war. They did sort of what the Meshuach Mechama did, but they themselves, avada they weren't Meshuchei Mechama. Why weren't they Meshuchei Mechama? Because there was no Shemen HaMishcha. You could have been a Kohen Gadol without Shemen HaMishcha. There's a plan B, but there is no plan B as it relates to the being the Kohen Meshuach, as it relates to the second Ara. So that will already have to pick up, Yetz Hashem, tomorrow's daf.